College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to break down, college football at its present state, shall we say. It's kind of all over the place. As we know, we did want to let, you know, the SEC, which kind of starts college football, to be honest with you, like fully, the conference play is kicking in now fully this weekend. There are actually some interesting games on the docket. There are some people in the top 25 that have no business being in there, but that's another set of circumstances. But we're going to break some stuff down here. We are going to preview and predict a couple games a little bit here and there. Like I said, there are some interesting games. We'll talk a little bit about what's taken place thus far. And also, obviously, the great announcement as far as a college football fan goes, the Big Ten is back. And I'll tell you what, we were just talking off air. If the NCAA, but the college football ranking system, if they are not allowing December 20th to allow the Big Ten teams, and I'm assuming Pac-12 will follow here soon, but if they don't allow them to be in that ranking system, even though they cut their schedule, they made it, you know, where they end the day before the announcements, the final rankings, and we know the shit doesn't get popping until later anyway. It'll be a disgrace. The NCAA has been really quiet lately. The Big Ten kind of met, really, the SEC halfway. Hey, okay, we'll cut some games. We will finish when you guys finish, but we have just more strict testing. They also, if you get COVID, you have to take X-ray. You have to be passed by a specialized doctor as well. They don't have the vague this or vague that, or we're not going to share our information or nothing like that. So long story short, it's back. It's strange, but hey, it's 2020. So everything is strange. So we are, like I said, going to break this down. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. For those who have been listening to it for a while, we appreciate it. We are back. We talk college football. We call it the College Ball Show because it goes from college football, and then in January it goes to college basketball all the way to the championship. So we call it the College Ball Show. We preview, we recap, we predict, we talk a lot of gambling stuff, and we also have a pick. We end the show on a fun picking. It's basically just the crappiest game you can think of. That's where my co-host comes up with it, and there's a bunch of those this year, and I pick it, and we just kind of talk it through. So if this is your first time, like I said, you can find the College Ball Show under the Ropadope Radio podcast umbrella at blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoveradio. However, you don't have to just go download the show there at Blog Talk or listen to it in the browser. You can find this show under the Ropeadove Radio podcast banter at Apple Podcast, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Player FM. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify. Why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com? It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. I use it myself. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They have the 7-day free trial. There's no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere. Cloud DVR, of course. The plans start as low as $55 a month. There's two specials I want to tell you about. Then we're going to get into college football. If you sign up now, you do get a 30-day free trial of HBO Max. If you sign up for the Max package, you get HBO Max for free plus a free month of Showtime. That's AT&T TV Now, live streaming cable. Okay. So I'm from Minnesota. I'm a Gopher fan. My second squad has always been, and it dates back to the 80s, Miami, because my Gophers suck. So in the postseason, I always had somebody to root for. And everybody in the country, it felt like, but especially in the Midwest, hated the Miami Hurricanes. And I loved me some Miami Hurricanes. They had a nice little outing against Louisville and just a score fest, 47-34. You know, King, Derek King, Dedrick King, the guy who they brought in from Houston a couple years back, and they brought in a brand new offensive coordinator who has, you know, a lot of great pedigree being developed in Auburn under good old Gus. So that was the kind of the prime time game last week. There was BYU Army that got postponed. There's been at least, I think, 12 or 13 games postponed. Who knows if there should have been more, because some of the programs aren't releasing COVID. In fact, I think maybe 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, it was up to 40% of the teams active are not releasing their COVID information. I think Oklahoma joined them as well of late. So there has been some fun games. I mean, if you're a hardcore college football fan, that's probably who's listening to this podcast more than likely. There's been some fun stuff that took place. Army had a major comeback. Our Raging Cajuns, and we say our, if you've listened to the show, Raging Cajuns have been our squad on the low. They beat Iowa State. The Big 12 is having some struggles with the Sun Belt, I'll tell you that. But overall, you know, Notre Dame looks pretty strong in a couple of their games. Yada, yada, yada. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, and we're going to go over some of this stuff from the last couple of weeks. Like I said, there has been some entertaining games. You know, that Oklahoma State, they won 16-7 over Tulsa, but it was not looking good at all. Central Florida looked really strong this last week against Georgia Tech game. Pittsburgh's been looking pretty good. They got a big game coming up. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall. What's going on, man? How the hell are you? And he's from Texas, or he lives in Texas. So football, as we know, is number one down there.
I'm doing good. I have been watching some college football. Actually, I watched quite a bit of games last Saturday. I had my first, like, why the hell do I even waste my time in life betting on the sport moment when I bet Tulane. So I bet Tulane, I bet them live during the game, because they were playing Navy, and Navy got just ran out the whole country when they played BYU. So I'm like, all right, Tulane should probably be pretty good. And they got up 7-0, got up 14-0, got up 21-0, and I bet them to win by like 7 points. I was like, all right, I'm sitting good. And then Tulane forgot how to run an offense and just didn't do anything. And Navy, a team who'd been like outscored, I think, 67-3 in their first six quarters, decided to run a triple option, and they lost the game on a game-winning field goal. So, yeah, back to college football, a sport that crazy shit happens because the kids are not pros, and you just sometimes want to pull out your hair. So, yeah. Anyways, life is good, brother. We're talking college football, which is not something I thought we would be doing for sure at all a couple months ago. I'll give my team fandom, then we'll get going here. I'm a USC fan, which if you listen to the podcast, you're aware of that. You are also aware that I'm not a fan of Clay Helton because he never wins against ranked teams. He never seems to win on the road.
I think that's come up a time or two on the pod. Yeah.
We had one great year where we beat Penn State in a great, great Rose Bowl game. Actually, a badass game with Sam Darnold. That was actually probably the best game Sam Darnold's played in the past 5 years. And then I'm also a Missouri Tigers fan. And the first 2 years in the SEC, they were good. And they start off with Bama. they start off with Bama this week. So now if Missouri upset Bama, Missouri beats Bama this week, I will be jumping for joy on this next podcast. But I don't see that happening. So yeah, those are my teams. We love doing those podcasts, and I can't wait for the end of the show, which is always the crafty crap pick of the week, which we normally hit at about, well, Chris normally hits at about 70%. So if you like to gamble, as crazy as these games are, we normally hit a pretty good clip of them. So you'll want to stay tuned for the, Yeah.
Or you pick the game. I pick the winners or losers, but you pick the game too. So it's a team effort.
It's a winning combination. You'll want to stay for the end because it's a very fun segment. I probably laugh a lot. It's an enjoyable. It's a fun thing to do. So yeah. So speaking of football, because we could talk about all sorts of different like leagues doing whatnot, but just to talk football itself. At least just for a little at least we have some fun games to watch this week. I mean, we're both diehard football fans, but for the first 3 weeks of football, there's been a little bit of like happiness. I mean, there's been games on. You've been having Sun Belt upsetting the Big 12. You've been having BYU Navy. I mean, you've been having some stuff. Like we've had some games. I know last week your Hurricanes actually beat Louisville, and which was a ranked versus ranked game. So that was something. Like, at least now, Chris, we have the games back. Most of the conferences have a health plan. We're getting back to kind of where we're feeling somewhat like last year. Like it's a positive step in the right direction. Obviously the Big Ten coming back, that news came out last week. Like we're going in the right direction, my friend, to having at least an 85% fun college football season.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the crappy pick of the week is going to be a little tougher this year because some of those crappy conferences, no offense, guys, no offense, people, but some of those, they can't afford the test and all that. So they're playing spring brawl or not, or maybe they are, who knows, they've given up. So I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh yeah, dude, this is going to be a little tougher. But yeah, you're right. It is getting back to normal. Like I said, we're starting to see some conference games going. Kentucky and Auburn. Kentucky, over the last couple of years, have developed into a more respectable program. That's for sure. So that's an interesting rank versus rank. Louisville, Pittsburgh. Louisville coming off that loss. But Pittsburgh, you know, threw a couple of games here. They've actually looked pretty good. That spread is at 2.5, so that might be as far as some of the tightest stuff for ranked versus ranked. Army number 22 against Cincinnati number 14.
I want to correct you, sir. You just said Pitt's been looking good. If there's ever a team in college football that you never probably ever want to bet on for a single effing game, it is Pitt, because they're gonna lose the game as a 28-point favorite. And then they'll also win a game against a ranked team in like 9 or 10 that they have no business effing doing. Stay away from Clemson, dude. Stay away.
They'll beat Clemson. They're the same squad. Didn't they beat the Canes late in the season in their undefeated time too?
And they'll lose to like Alabama Northeast Tech because that's what Pitt does. Be weary of Pitt.
I mean, he's not lying. He's not lying. And then Louisville is pissed off from last week. So they probably will win that game, and it's not like you have home field advantage thus far this year. So yeah, like I said, there is some. It's a good point, man. I'm glad you brought that up. There is some games out there though that are kind of entertaining. Miami and Florida State. Miami's shown some just better offense. I mean, that's been the problem. That has been the number one problem the last 4 years. Well, longer than that, but as far as when they had a competent top 10, top 20 defense, that's been the problem. But rivalry game, let's see how that turns out. I believe the Florida State head coach got COVID. I don't know if he still has it.
Yeah, Norvell. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. I'm really bummed about that. I'm just kidding. No, honestly, that's a joke. That's a joke. Because, you know, coaches are actually a lot more, you know, prone to it really affecting them majorly.
Sure.
Potentially. You know what I mean? Because they're older and, you know, they don't always – their schedule's not lined up for staying healthy. No. Let's put it that way. So there is some games out there. Really pumped about that Baylor-Kansas game. Just kidding. Baylor just had their – last week they got a – they tried to – did they try to reschedule that game? Was it SMU? I can't remember. But they are not going to reschedule that. From what I've heard of late, the BYU quarterback said he's not afraid of COVID. He's like Cousins that, you know, bring it on. I'll just put it in a headlock or whatever. I just saw that clip just a second ago, actually. But, yeah, there is some interesting games. And like I said, if you look at last week, just kind of real quick, you know, Tulane was up on Navy 24. It was a 24-point second-half comeback from Navy.
Thanks for mentioning that. I talked about that earlier. Thanks for rubbing it in again. I appreciate it.
Sorry, man. My I was actually a little distracted, so I missed some of your stuff there. That's funny. I just wanted to give the exact stat, man. That's all.
Oh, sure.
That's all. I'm just worried about stats, dude. You know what I'm saying? Speaking of stats, I talked about Notre Dame, South Florida. You know, they're nothing special, but they're not bummy either. 52-0, second longest winning streak at Notre Dame, 20 games now. That's not the craziest, but it was the second largest shutout since 1936 AP poll for the school anyway, since they've been in that there. There's a couple other games out there. Hubert, who actually can just run the crap out of the ball for Oklahoma State, he was 11 game streak of 100 rushing yards a game. That got snapped in that ugly game by them. Central Florida, I mentioned, Gabriel came out 417, four touchdowns, and they actually forced five Georgia Tech turnovers. And it wasn't like a total blowout the whole game per se, so that was pretty impressive, because it's one thing when they're trying to catch up Georgia Tech, you know, especially the old way where they, you know, it's like good luck trying to catch up with that system. But that was actually an entertaining game for a little while. I thought it was pretty interesting anyway. And just another stat here, largest halftime comebacks, SMU 14, back-to-back years, Maryland back in 1959, 14. Wow, I really am just rubbing that in the dirt, dude. I'm really sorry about that. Anyway, I just stumbled upon this stat. The Miami kicker, first of all, he may beat you up, and he hit a 56-yarder. I say that because he's a big dude. I think he's one of those Aussies that came over from the Australian football style, and so he's a big dude, but he can kick the you-know-what out of the ball. There is something I want to talk about, though, as far as eligibility. Bateman, one of the best receivers in the country, you know, when the Big Ten said, nah, we're going to postpone it, and the big thing was we're going to regroup. And at the start, it seemed like spring football. But then they kind of focused it on three dates, the date that they're returning sometime later in November or January maybe, and then we heard spring football straight up. So we didn't really know what that was. But he now, Bateman, is back on campus, enrolled as a full-time student. Now, he did sign, you know, with a free agent or with an agent. However, you know, the only reason why he did that is because it didn't seem like the NFL was going to be willing to budge their stuff. And I think contractually they could only push it till early June anyway. But a lot of people went out, you know, who are first and second round picks. That's usually who it was. Some people have some health conditions or whatever. But I wonder where this stands. Now, there was a punter that, and it kind of gives me hope, from ASU. He went through the whole – this is actually from Daniel House, NFL. It's worth noting the exemption the punter got, he received in the spring. He went through the entire draft process and earned his eligibility back, and the school cited COVID as a special circumstance. Now, Marshall, the NCAA so far has done two things. One, because, you know, they put out protocols, but that doesn't matter because nobody has to stay on the same protocols. Of course they were going to put out protocols. That means nothing because they knew that that's not their jurisdiction. They could just tell you, you know, they don't have a control of the bowl system either. they can just tell you who's playing, who's not, yada, yada. Well, they do a bunch of other stuff, but we won't talk about that. But it's kind of interesting here. Like, they put out once the Big Ten and the Pac-12 were up, they said, okay, no national championship. Well, I understand that part. I think that's actually a decent call, but it sure would have been nice if they really got the Power Five, leaders in a room and just hashed it out. But of course, they're on thin ice as it is for their behavior and their ethics for the last, long ass time. So the Power Five, they're already on thin ice with them. So they don't want to disturb anything. Then they put out the rule that, 72-hour rule on Wednesday. It basically, as long as you test clean, right, a negative test on a Wednesday, you're good to go for the Saturday game. So theoretically, on some of these campuses, the player would have to go to class on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I say to go to class because that's indoors. Not only that, but you're eating indoors too, or at least going in there to get your food. It's not like all these colleges can hire a bunch of people to go be a food delivery system to 100 players. Not only that, but that would mean all athletics. You realize the logistics of that? It's not even – I mean, like I said, some schools just cancel because they can't even afford the testing. But the 72-hour rule is just – freaking ridiculous. So they're just sitting there. Where do you think they stay? I feel like they're gonna allow these waivers in eligibility because they're on thin ice, and hey, it was based off COVID. Where do you stand on that?
I gotta agree with you. I mean, if and I get the whole, like, guys going pro, they're tempted by money, I get all those angles. That's normally kind of the rough of idea of the rule. But yeah, due to this year where you have a lot of top talented guys saying, dude, I'm opting out, I'm gonna go pro, we've never seen that in college football that I can recall, where a top end player is like, I'm good, I'm gonna go pro. Like, that just doesn't happen where they would not that you can't go pro early and for the draft, but skipping a season, that's like unheard of in football. That just doesn't exist. So you'd assume the right minds would prevail and they would give the kid a chance to play, especially since he wants to come back. Like, that just sounds like a common idea, but NCAA doesn't always have common ideas. So I'm leaning 70-30, but this is also an organization who just is not always trustworthy. So for the sake of your Gophers, for the sake of the kid wanting to play, and for the sake of how this year's been, I just assume they let it happen. But if they came back and said, sorry, tough luck, it wouldn't blow my mind. It would be a little sad, but it wouldn't be something where I was like, man, NCAA, like, yeah, you got me there. So I don't know. I wouldn't get my hopes up just, Chris, because they've barely said anything this whole damn time anyways. Mm. Like, they came out and said, we're not having any fall sport championships. Like, we're not doing that. Okay, fine. But like, that's one of your big announcements. Like, there's going to be no NCAA championship titles. Well, awesome. Okay. And that, they haven't said much since that. And that was kind of like, I think they thought big news. So yeah, I don't trust them at all.
And the 72-hour rule, dude. I mean, how silly is that? Especially for the kids that on these campuses are still having you have to go to class, not just, online, and just getting something to eat is gonna be in a crowded cafeteria, dude. Oh, yeah. Even if you take it to go, people say, just take it to go. You gotta go in there, dude.
Well, and what about all the parties that colleges have? That's why all of our college COVID numbers are spiking up like crazy. Hell, like, I always talk about Memphis because I listen to the Grizzlies, Grizzlies guy has a podcast. So I always listen to him, and I mean, the Memphis Tigers won their first college football game of the year, and they decide to have a little nice little fun party. They got a party bus for some vans, and they've now had two games postponed because almost 40 players, I believe 20 players were positive and 20 players were traced around them. So, like, college parties are going to happen. Like, after Bama plays this week and probably beats the crap out of Missouri, they're probably going to go back to Tuscaloosa and party. Like, You know, and so that there's, I mean, it's just any college football team, like those guys love their college life, and you're not going to get college football players to bubble. Like that's just not happening. The parties are not going to stop on campus. And if they shut down sororities, they'll probably party in a smaller house. Like, you know, it's going to happen. So,
well, they could do a Louisville style too, basketball, you know what I mean? Right to the dorm, baby.
I just think that you got to have smart protocols, and it makes no sense to go lenient on the COVID testing. Like that really, it just is mind blowing that you would have lighter precautions at a time when you really don't, like, I don't know. Like, I love the Big Ten doing the X-ray of the lungs. Like that's awesome. Like that's super smart. But then the SEC for football, if you test positive for COVID, you don't have to get tested again for 90 days. Like, that, I mean, that's almost, it's almost better not to even like test them. Like, okay, you're going to take 90 days after you get a positive test, yet most workforces in our country, or most jobs that people work. So for, I'm probably about 250 American people who have jobs or whatever. Like, if you test positive, you have to go home from work, and like, and then you have to get negative tests to come back. Like, that sounds like a regular thing of human life. And SEC is just, I don't know, it's dumb. And I hope it doesn't come back to affect people. And again, you could say, oh, well, these college football kids, like, they're not going to get sick and die. They're not. But haven't we found out from 6 months of this scenario that, like, grandparents and parents can die? Like, right. You know, I just...
And
I,
just postponements, you know? Yeah. Just postponing alone. You know, this could mess up your season. And that's really the focus. Like, dude, wouldn't you want to see if it was a false positive in the first place? And just to sit these guys out for 2 weeks when you don't need to do that in normal life. We've already found that out. You need to have at least back-to-back negative tests. But it just doesn't even line up. 90 days is the regular season of the college football season.
Yeah, and it just goes to show, and we've had this debate on our basketball podcast, and other, you know, it's just, they go show that in a lot of parts of our country and a lot of people, we value sports over health. And this really does show that football and money matter over people's health. Now, again, we could have a completely fine year where no one in the SEC dies or has long-term health effects. I guess we can't predict that, but but that doesn't make the decision right. Like, if you're a diehard Bama fan, you're like, well, no Bama player died from COVID this year, but that still doesn't defend it to where, hey, like, these stupid rules they've set up were, like, smart. Like, it's just, again, I'm happy. I'll love to watch SEC football. It's a beautiful sport. It's the best football league in the country. But, like, there should be just more common sense. But, again, it just goes to show how our country's handled this. But,
it's good for the student athlete. It's good for your team to get tested again. And also, it protects your school from lawsuits, dude.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that shit does line up. Like, if you don't think there's a potential for, because if that shit's on your lungs, there's a lot of stuff we don't know about it yet. I just wish they would have met halfway and tried to have met halfway. But, yeah, that, I just don't know why you wouldn't want to do a false positive the very next moment. I mean, that makes no sense. And then you're going to put them on the shelf for 2 weeks? Why would you do that? Like, that's have you put all these baseball players on the shelf for 2 weeks when they've had four games in a row canceled? No, you haven't. You know, why would you need to shelf them for 2 weeks anyway? If they're negative, they're negative, dude. But if you don't test them again and you don't know if it's a false positive, then you can get the spread. Once again, we're not talking about death. So just stop with that argument, because we know we're dealing with 18 to 22-year-olds. We're talking about when you start the season, what's your best way to finish the season? That's what we're talking about. The MLB, didn't they say they're going to create a bubble for the final four of the MLB now? Because they're so freaked out about it. That's not just playoffs, right? That's just the conference final and the final?
In the World Series? I know the first round is home teams, but I think there's four stadium sites, so it gets when it gets down to maybe Elite Eight of based on that term normalization. But yeah. So again, just being smart, being proactive.
Right, and you can't postpone it. It's not like that. You can play a doubleheader. You got off days coming up. You play a doubleheader, a game that day. It's not like baseball, dude. You can't push off four games. By the way, they got to go to class. This isn't 1960 where you didn't even know where your classes were, even in the 80s sometimes. Like, you can't play a game on Wednesday and then turn around and play a game on Saturday. It doesn't work. And that's what we're talking about, the success to make sure you can finish this season. Why not put the things in place to make sure you finish the season? But that's what that 90-day rule is. It's to make sure we finish that season, because we just won't know. And we're not sharing information anyway. I'm not saying every team in the SEC does that, but there's a ton of them. It's probably up to 50% already. Of course, it helps probably maybe the Big Ten numbers coming back, because I think everybody's sharing them there. But when you have this much money on the line, you don't just trust the human being, whoever it is, because they're probably going to side on, well, there are not going to be any deaths.
Yeah. So, and again, all right, that's all true, and we're on the same page there by far. But let's talk, I guess, a little football for fun, because we can talk about COVID and everything for a long time. So with actual college football coming back, as you said in the start of the show, it was a bad initial first week for the Big 12, I guess, second week for the Big 12. Kansas State, who has a new coach Klieman from NDSU last year, actually had a really nice year. Like, they had Arkansas State, and believe Arkansas State, they were up 7-0. Like, K-State blocked a punt, started the game, and they're okay, this is an easy walk-through. I think they're like a 12- or 13-point favorite. And Kansas State loses at home to Arkansas State, which was not supposed to happen. And Iowa State, a team who a lot of people have always liked, they have a great coach too. Like, they're always the kind of up-and-coming flashy story with Matt Campbell. They lost to our Louisiana Tech Raging Cajuns. And we call them ours because in the 8 years we've done this podcast, we've adopted them. We're officially Raging Cajun members. And yeah, so that was a hiccup game. And I know those were games that teams always need, but I'm sure for the next couple of seasons, people will probably not want to schedule the Raging Cajuns or Arkansas State. So a little bit of a rough game there. Some slip-ups. Obviously, the Navy-BYU was a bloodshed disaster. Navy, Chris, chose not to tackle in their practices leading up to the season, which the coach was in fear of, you know, the COVID spreading, which I understand. But if we are going to play football, if we're going to mask up and do this, you're going to be playing other teams, you know, you probably should have. And he regretted that. And then he came back to freaking cost me a bet against Tulane. But those are kind of the major upsets of the start of the season. The first week of college football really was a bunch of literally just almost no-name teams. Your Hurricanes got a victory, but at least now we're moving forward. It's fair to say that even though this is COVID 2020, I do expect that there's still not a whole lot of hope to discuss in the ACC, because unless something massively happens, I still think Clemson's the best team. I mean, there's been talk that the Tar Heels are getting better. There's been talk that, your Hurricanes are ranked this year. You have a better quarterback.
Right. But no,
like, Louisville's got a young coach. But Clemson's going to be in the college football playoff, whatever it is. Like, unless crazy shit happens, we got the ACC covered there. I mean, I know people love their own teams, and then games are fun to watch, and hell, your Hurricanes could have a nice year this year. But it's the Clemson show. So that kind of just moves on. As we go towards the Pac-12, obviously the Pac-12 right now is not playing. I do think they'll probably play in like kind of December, January-ish time. And if it's just the Pac-12 season, hell, that's more college football for us to enjoy. So that leaves us with SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12. So Big Ten yet, we'll obviously get there. That's going to be incredible football, but they're still taking their time. So it leaves us with now the Big 12 and SEC. All right, so for the Big 12, you do have some fun games this week. I think if you're Oklahoma as a fan base and you're charging your people $60 pay-per-views to watch them beat up a team, whatever, they actually start this week off with Kansas State, Chris, who always seems to play them hard. I believe upset them 2 years ago. So if you're Kansas State, you had your embarrassing loss. You get refocused. You have a style that's unique. You kind of play that slow tempo, run the crap out the ball against you. And now for Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley is obviously a phenomenal coach, maybe one of the best offensive minds in the game. But you're now on the quarterback number. Yeah, you got number four. You got this Rattler kid who's, I think, a white guy with some really goofy red hair. So he's probably not going to be Baker or Kyler Murray or Jalen Hurts. So are we going to see another year where Lincoln Riley takes another? I'm not going to say he's comparable to those names because I think that'd be unfair to those guys. But
he came Lincoln in Riley, higher ranked than all those guys, though. I'll say that, I think.
Oh,
well, maybe
okay.
Murray was higher ranked.
Oh, right there. Okay. So can Lincoln Riley, Chris, put together another year with his fourth new quarterback in 4 years? Will this be an Oklahoma, possible another Big 12 championship? Or could we have all the hype that we always hear? Hell, I think Kirk Herbstreit has Texas in his Final Four playoff. Could this be the year for the Texas Longhorns to finally do something?
If there ever was a year, this
true.
Would be the year. Yeah, give them that. I don't know how positive that is for them, but whatever. I'm a Gopher and Vikings fan, so I don't want to hear about positivity or negativity or why you're dogging us. I think they'll pretty much hit the ground running. Is he going to win the Heisman? No. Just off, there's no fucking way they can do that again or have the second guy or whatever. But I think he'll put up some huge numbers. And, yeah, I mean, he was there for a year. I've already heard people saying, oh, we got to get him. We got to get him. It's like, dude, no, we can't get him. He's not available. And I've seen that across the internet, people saying he's actually going to be the guy drafted. It's like, well, you know, first. It's like, well, except is the NCAA come up with a rule that we forgot or don't know now or whatever. But, yeah, I think they'll do good. You think Auburn's going to cover that 10.5 spread? Let's start wrapping this thing up now. I think.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. You know, the thing with college football, especially with these SEC teams, they have not played yet. I mean, I know people want to bet because just it's tempting. It's fun. You want to go and bet your team. Like, until you've seen a team play, unless you've heard, like, something, like, magical or you have some point spread guy that really knows his shit, I would just get a feeling and watch. Or maybe if obviously most people nowadays have the betting apps where you can live bet. Maybe watch the first half of the Auburn game and then get a feeling for a second half bet. Like I see Missouri's a 27-point dog. That's probably right. Bama probably should be favored by 4 touchdowns over them. But for betting, especially with Auburn, Kentucky, normally 2 pretty evenly based, well-ran teams, let them get the kinks out. Like, I will say, though, Chris, the one betting trend I have noticed is I'm going to try to quote this, but I believe going into last week, teams were playing their first game of the year. I believe it was around like 35 and 16 for games going under. So when you get teams who have not played at all this year, their offenses were just not in a rhythm yet. The lean is under. So if you were looking for a bet, I would recommend maybe looking at the under totals for SEC football, just because none of these teams have faced off opponents yet. They've had in-person scrimmages, which can replicate something, but that truly doesn't replicate a different team. And obviously you're not going to ever try to kill your own quarterback. So for a betting angle, I'd lean towards looking at unders. And
what
maybe,
about
and,
the no
maybe,
tackling though? Wouldn't you look at the over? Because if they can't tackle worth the shit, there's going to be more points. I saw a couple of broken plays where you're like, what is that in that Louisville Miami game? Couldn't you argue the opposite?
Nobody
can tackle in the Big 12 as it is.
Wow.
But,
that's true. Yeah. I would never say bet all Big 12 unders. That might be a little dangerous. But just for what I've heard, a trend, and it makes sense because offenses are sluggish, and obviously a lot of teams have had tackling practice. I mean, Navy was an exception. That coach is like, oh, shit, that was a bad idea. Right. But, yeah.
And defenses are always ahead of offenses in camp, in football.
Yes.
That's generally
exactly.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So that's the one angle to look at. Again, I wouldn't bet Missouri. I mean, I would take Nick Saban and what he's been doing over Missouri's coach. So I hate to sound pessimistic on my team, but really it's like I want to have a good year for Mizzou when we start off having to freaking host Bama like that. Yeah, that's not good. That's never any good. But, you know, I at least the SEC is back. In a couple of weeks, once they get into a flow, we're probably going to be having some pretty good SEC afternoon games. Obviously, maybe this is the year, Chris, where a team like, holy shit, Tennessee's ranked 16th.
Iowa State, TCU is a 2-point spread. Iowa State, that should be a good game, too.
That should be a good game. Yeah, Iowa State had their hiccup. And you know, both those teams have played. I think TCU's played a game. I know Iowa State's played a couple already. So again,
well, they actually had a postponement, but you know.
Oh no, you're right. Yeah. So again, I would heavily bet Iowa State just because they've played a game already this year. You know, the trends I've seen is if you've played a game, it's a huge beneficial factor compared to a team who hasn't played. And that makes logical sense. Even if the team playing, Chris, is the team who's played before is a lesser team, you've actually had a film session. Your quarterback's gotten used to his play calls. Like, there's so much positives to benefit. Like, hell, Florida Atlantic is a 3-point favorite against South Florida. So clearly Vegas thinks that Florida Atlantic is a better team. But South Florida's played two games. Florida Atlantic has not played a game this year. Again, I would be looking – I'd be looking a lot at – games played. And normally, you know, in college football, like hell, if you're a favorite, you're a favorite, and Vegas normally doesn't screw it up. But with COVID this year, again, interesting. Duke, who's 0-2, people are not high on them, is playing Virginia, who is a 4.5-point favorite. Virginia obviously is a favorite team. But Duke has now played two games this year, and Virginia's played none because of postponements from COVID. Again, an angle to look at. So in this weird year, sometimes you have to do that. Normally, we wouldn't really be comparing games played in college football. But for this year, Chris, right, I think it's definitely a factor to consider.
Yeah, I agree. Let's shut this puppy down. I'm definitely picking Auburn. I'm picking Pitt. I don't care what you say about them. I do think Iowa State will bounce back against TCU. I'm picking Cincinnati over Army because, you know, go figure. Army lacking discipline. No, I'm just kidding. I'm from a family of military. I'm just kidding. And I was going to say that Duke, Virginia, that's interesting. I'm picking Duke on the upset. That's my upset of the week. Let's get into this crafty pick of the week, unless you want to pick a couple. Oh, in Miami. I'm picking Miami over Florida State. 11-point spread. I think it'll be under that, though. So that might be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I would lean towards those games I said where, so again, I'll take Duke over Virginia just because they've played two games and Virginia hasn't. I'll take Iowa State over TCU since Iowa State's not played yet. Again, I'm looking more just flat out numbers more so than skill base, which could come back to bite me in the butt. And if so, that's fine. Will take Southern Miss to beat Tulane because Tulane just blew a 24-point lead. Obviously, there's some momentum lost off that. And I would think Southern Miss, who's 0-2, is going to want to pull out a victory. So, yeah.
We're never going to get a Tulane listener ever. We've just destroyed Tulane.
Then don't blow an effing 24-point lead and cost me money.
Aren't they in Louisiana, Tulane?
Yeah.
Yeah, we already got our squad in Louisiana, so screw Tulane.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we got the Raging Cajuns. They're probably better than Tulane anyways. Oh, and in case you forgot, good old Lane Kiffin, my man, now leading the Ole Miss Rebels.
Thought we could make it, and we didn't make it through a podcast without his name. Oh, he got me.
The effing man, Lane Kiffin. I got to say his name 3 times a podcast, or else it's not an official podcast. We'd have to redo it.
He's got a sponsorship, guys. Let him be.
Him and his boys are a 14.5-point favorite, but it's in Oxford. They're hosting the Florida Gators, who are ranked 5th. Oh my God, what the hell? The hell's? Oh well, if there's a coach to do it, it's Lane Kiffin. If they pull off the upset week 1, oh, it's gonna be week 4. It's gonna be a hell of a pod next week. We're gonna be saying Ole Miss all day. All right. So now I got I almost forgot about that. I'm happy I saw that name pop up, Chris. I would have felt bad. I would have felt like I wasn't carrying my weight here for the pod. Now we get to the fun part of the show, where it is the crafty, crappy pick of the week. I find the garbage game of the day, and we go through it. This week, it's kind of tough because there's not a lot of games. And as you said, Chris, like the shitty conferences have, like, a lot of them aren't playing because they can't afford to have testing. So the crafty craft pick of the week is a little more strategic based this week. It's just the average crafty craft pick of the week. But I decided on what I'm going with it. It is a 9-point spread, so it's a little bit of a tough spread. But we're going with – I just lost here. Where'd you go? Okay. My mouse is messing with me. Okay. The Texas El Paso Miners, okay? And this is a 2:30 Central kickoff. The game is on ESPNU. So you have the UTEP Miners, who are 2-1. So the record thinks, oh, maybe they're good. Is going to face UL Monroe. This game is at Malone Stadium in Monroe, Louisiana. I could drive out there if I wanted to. I could get in for a $23 ticket, so I guess they're allowing people at the stadium. Again, ESPNU, 2:30 Central, the UTEP Miners, who are 2-1, against the UL Monroe, I believe they're the Warhawks. The UL Monroe is favored at -9.5 points. We'll just give you a money line pick here, so you're probably got to do about -300 juice. What does your gut say on this feisty Texas-Louisiana border battle matchup?
Man, you know, considering we're limited with this stuff this year, you did pick a dandy. You did, I'll give you credit on this one. Wow, okay, so UTEP. Neither of them can score for shit so far. 14 and 12 points. I repeat, 14.7 for UTEP. Monroe is 12 points. And Monroe's giving up 37. That's not a good look. They have played two games, too. Like you said, I mean, so there's something to be said. They gave up so far in two games 289 yards on average. UTEP giving up a good chunk of change when it comes to passing, but they're pretty stymie on the run defense, although who really knows. Neither of them can really run the ball considering college football standards, but especially Monroe, 52 yards. Man, this is a good one. I mean, UTEP got beat by this, you know, the next national championship compared to, you know, University of Texas, I guess. But they're coming off a nice little W. They are coming off a nice little W. Wow. Okay. I'm going to go with the road squad to miner their way through. They got the light on their helmet, and they're going to chip away at Monroe. And like I said, you are right, the Warhawks. I like how you were right about that, too. Yeah, I'm going to go UTEP for this one. Like you said, Malone Stadium. Is that Carl Malone or who is that? Is that the UK? Tickets low as $23. That seems kind of high considering you're not going to fill the stadium.
It ain't cheap.
Right? And by the way, so I am going to go with the road team UTEP to get her done. Now back it up real quick and then we'll shut this thing down. What's Oklahoma doing with pay-per-view? Okay, so people aren't in the – what are they doing with pay-per-view?
They did this shit last year. I can't believe people paid. So let me get the – I got – and I have
what,
one.
What am I missing? They don't have a –
Well, I think they're struggling financially as a school for football. I really think that they just they're not paying the bucks. Lincoln Riley's struggling to get by. So Lincoln Riley beat Missouri State 48-0. But if you're an Oklahoma fan, since that game is not broadcasted, you had to pay $60 to watch Oklahoma beat Missouri State. And I get that Oklahoma, they're a proud fan base. They truly are. I have a great family friend who's a huge Sooner fan, season tickets. But who the F pays $60? I mean, most UFC and boxing pay-per-views, which we talked about earlier today, are $55 or $60. But that's like either get like 6 boxing matches or like 12 UFC fights. Like you
and
get
that's for a
some time.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So,
oh
yeah.
My God. And on that note, we can shut this thing down. Wow.
So
dude.
I always like to mention just the alumni. That's kind of became our new thing last year. And I remember because we picked UTEP last year. I'm not sure if it was, I think it was college basketball. It might have been college football. Either way, they're crappy in both sports. Shout out to UTEP alumni of Tim Hardaway, okay, great basketball player. John D. Olivas, who is pictured in a astronaut suit with American flag behind him. Maybe he's, come close to the moon. Antonio Davis, which was a former basketball player. Nate Archibald, another great basketball player. Ed Hockley, who's always been like the buffed out coach, buffed out ref. Nolan Richardson and those Arkansas Hogs, title back in the day.
40 minutes of hell.
Yeah. Derek Carter, who is pictured in a Lakers uniform. I'm not sure who Derek Carter, professional basketball player, is. Johnny Lee Higgins. And to top it off, Aaron Jones, who had a great day for the Packers in fantasy yesterday. But to top it off, the one and only former adult incredible actress, Mia Khalifa.
There you go.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So there's a chance that the UL Monroe people have alumni, but how do you match a porn star, a ref, a great basketball player, an astronaut?
Many
Chris, all that UL Monroe has is Tim McGraw, so they have a good country singer. The guy from Duck Dynasty. You got Tim Brando, who's a good announcer. Oh, you have Doug Peterson, an NFL coach.
There you go.
Shit, Stan Humphries was a former Charger quarterback. Okay, they got something. And that does it. Okay, so on that note, we always love doing that. Again, we've hit it about a 70% clip for the past 6 or 7 years. So as crazy as they sound, we know our shit. So enjoy watching your SEC football. Please cheer for Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. They need your support. And on that note, the boys are out. We'll be back with actually a fun college football review, a breakdown of SEC, Big 12, and fun games. It's picking up. So enjoy it. Stay safe. Mask up. The boys are out tonight. Peace.